sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, everybody. We promised you a show today that is electrifying, and it is going to be just that. We have our friends from Hayes Electric, co-owners, Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wart, and we are going to kind of do a little bit deeper dive into our fault protection, the extra cost that the changes in the code have made, whether or not, how do you know if your house has been hit by lightning, and what is the best surge protection to use. So that's a lot to cover, so we better get going.
It's a little bit.
Yeah. Let's kind of define, we did arc fault last week, but let's kind of define what an arc fault is.
Well, it depends on which one you're going with. You do have breakers, which is what most commonly we all use. It makes it easier doing the breaker style than it is if you do a plug style. Because when you start doing plug styles, there's a totally different realm you got to go into, and it's actually cost more to do it that way. So we use the breakers. Arc faults are basically designed as a safety issue in case there is a short, like a, if they're in a makeup or something like that.
Loose connection.
Loose connections that are in there sometimes. Sometimes you can have wires that have, accidentally gotten nicked or whatever.
Or a big one is, two big ones. They make these little, instead of using a wire nut, they make these little plugs where you can just stick the wires into them.
Right.
Those are just awful with arc faults.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge, huge problem. And then, like, if guys don't twist their wires together and just put a wire nut on it, a lot of times you can get where one is just sitting there and it'll work real good for a long time, and then it kind of backs off a little bit and it's just not making good contact, and it arcs, and then you have breaker issues.
Well, and if you didn't have that arc fault protection, the consequence could be a fire, right?
I mean ultimately, yes, that's the reason for them. Now, don't get me wrong, we lived for well over 100 years without them, but the possibility's there, and so, you know, if the possibility's there, you do what you can to keep from it happening.
Okay, so new houses today are built with the arc fault breakers.
Yes, ma'am.
In the breaker box.
Yes.
Everything.
Okay. Everything.
Okay.
Every 110 plug that's in a home has to be arc fault protected.
Okay.
Without fail. It has to have it.
But can you add it to old ones?
Yes. It's not necessarily as easy. The wiring, depending on the age of the home, really may not be conducive for it. You know, the houses we do now, they're wired with knowing that that's what kind of breaker you're going to be putting in there.
Oh, right, right.
So the wiring is different?
Yes. Not totally different, but it is different.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, wires have changed over the years, for
the
sure.
Wire itself is still, doesn't change.
The wrapping for the wire has changed, right?
No, not the wrapping either. I mean, over the years, yes.
Yes.
But not in recent years. It's just the way that we wire circuitry in a house that's just changed a little bit, you know, so we can use the arc fault breaker.
Okay.
So if someone's listening to this and they go, my breaker box has no arc fault breakers at all in it, do they need to install them?
No, or not necessarily. Not
something
necessarily.
You wait on until you have to have a new breaker?
Not bashing anybody, because you can get to a point where it's almost opinion. The code changes every 3 years. So if you have a house that's over 3 years old, guess what? It's not within code, you know, on something.
Yeah.
You know. So I try not to look at it that way, but there are people out there. I've gone to customers and said, well, they said they had to do this, this, and this to my house because it's not in code. And I'm like, well, okay. They're not wrong about it not being in code, but we only have to bring up to code what we replace, or if we're adding to, you know, something. That's what you need to bring up to code.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay. So is there just one type of arc fault?
Well, you have there's two different types of arc faults. There's the one that has a single, and then they have one that's a combination. So in the combination in Oklahoma City, they want the combination. They want to be able to read both signals. So there's and the ground faults are the same way. There's on those, there's, they read a different signal. So they somehow they've put in an well, there's actually a little computer chip in them, basically, and they made it to where it can read different types of signals to say, hey, I'm getting this kind of harmonics, I need to trip for this. Or I'm getting one because this is going on, so I need to trip it for this. I kind of trip it to, like, maybe, let's say, for instance, you got a cat and you got an appliance or a lamp cord plugged in. Come on, we all know dogs and cats sometimes like to chew on our cords.
Right.
Well, let's be honest, sometimes kids do, too.
I mean, not any kids I ever.
Oh, of course not.
No,
those are different types of kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, and I'm thinking that's what one of them's for. And then the other one was like for what Alan was saying a minute ago, is when you have a bad connection or a bad makeup. Usually the one when you get those bad makeups is, like he said, when, I forget what they exactly call them. I kind of consider them like a...
it's not the Wagos. Those
no,
are
it's
different.
Not the Wagos. They're different, but they're kind of still look the same.
They're just kind of a stab-on thing.
And, I mean, it's like the thinnest of metal. I mean, it's not even, I'd say maybe a millimeter.
Is it kind of like what you plug a telephone into or something?
No. It's kind of a triangular-looking thing. It's just got holes in it in the bottom for the wire, and you stick it up in the hole, and it just kind of
clamps onto it.
Yeah. But it's the thinnest of clamps, you know, and over the years, it's just going to get loose. And
one thing that you guys have taught me about electricity is that it vibrates, it moves.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it.
So that just sounds like a recipe for disaster. If you've got a little thin clip trying to hold stuff and it starts vibrating and moving.
Yeah, I mean, they started them, what was it, around, how long ago was it? Maybe 15 years ago when we first ran into it?
With those caps?
Yeah, me and Alan were out on a job. And somebody else had started their work, and we got called out, and they said, well, none of our wire, you know, none of our electricals are working. So we get over there, and we start looking and hunting down, and Alan just so happened to find a junction box that was bare.
It was in a
wall.
We were at the point where we had nowhere else to look. I opened up this closet and see this piece of sheetrock propped up, and I move it, and there's a giant junction box in there.
Now, we're talking big. We're talking like 2x3.
And
oh,
I take the cover
feet.
Off.
Yes.
I take the cover off of the junction box, and I holler at Dwayne, and I said, I found it. And everything in there was just burnt to a crisp, and it was just because those connections. You know, plugs used to be made that way, where they just stab in the back, mm-hmm. and it's the same concept. Those plugs are outlawed now, so I don't understand why these connectors are being made. When they connect the same way.
And we, as people just hiring electricians, don't know any of that.
No, you don't know what they're using. You don't know what product they're using.
Yeah. We have on the line Dean Riddell, our money man.
NMLS number 196895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing absolutely fantastic.
So what's going on in our market? It's still pretty steady, huh?
It is, you know, and Becky, I was part of a listening to last week from the mortgage bankers. It was interesting data, some of which I'm sure you're aware of, but they were kind of carving out the inventory situation today and where they envision rates going. But it was 39% of homeowners own their home free and clear. 32% of homeowners have equity greater than 50%, which I think is partly because of what's happened in the last couple of years. But you've got, in essence, 71% of homeowners who have no mortgage or probably a rate in the threes. So they're less hesitant to make a change when rates are 7, but they envision, you know, probably year end, first of year 24, getting into the 5s, and mortgage bankers are projecting rates in the upper 4s end of 24, and then mid 4s end of 25. So I paint that picture because, of course, you're scared to death to say anything because of some of the projections that were out first of the year obviously haven't come to surface. But if rates would move into that 5% range, a lot of the people that are in that 71% that are in that 3% environment or 32% may be more apt to list, move, sell, upgrade, make changes.
Now, right now, most of the folks moving are moving because they need to move. It's not just a pleasure move because they're sitting on a 3% interest rate, so they don't want to change that for a 7. But they might change it for 5.5. So
totally agree.
That's sort of what we're looking at.
That's
so
why we keep looking at it. If you want to contact Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage, their number is 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyEvans.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see them right there at the top. As always, thank you, Dean Riddell.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. We'll be back with more with Hayes Electric right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wart, owners of Hayes Electric, and we're talking about arc fault and all the things. This thing gets – I'm glad you guys are here because it gets confusing to me.
Not even easy to say, is it?
It is not. So how does this affect the cost of putting in breakers and that sort of thing?
Just in every way possible. A regular breaker, a standard breaker, we'd sell them to the customer for $7 or $8 a piece. You go from that to, well, we have to put this in now, this arc fault or combination or arc fault GFI breaker, and they're in the neighborhood of $70 to the customer.
Wow.
So yeah, and that's a massive difference, And so if somebody needs to have their service on their house rebuilt, you know, brought up to code and, you know, larger breaker box installed, whatever, all the existing circuitry, if it's moved, you know, not very far, because there's lots of breaker boxes that we can't keep in the spots they're in now.
Mm-hmm.
In a closet.
Because they're in
or
a closet. They're inside
something
the
like
house
that.
Somewhere.
Yeah, or above the washer and dryer. We can't have that. So we wind up moving them outside. And so that little bit of extra wire that we got between the old breaker box and the new one constitutes having to use this breaker instead. So if you have 14 or 15 breakers in your panel and every one of those has to be arc fault or arc fault GFI, I mean, do the math. That's, you know, you can. I've had customers, you know, where, you know, we had a couple $1,000 worth. Now, it was a lot of breakers.
Yeah.
But in a typical one, it's not uncommon to see an $800 or $900 increase.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's strictly because of the change of having to use those breakers.
So it doesn't – how about 220? We mentioned
110. We're not there yet. We're not
220s don't have to have this.
Not yet. I'm sure it's coming.
You guys were saying last week that different states are starting to have that.
Yeah.
And eventually it'll be here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, the way the NEC works – nowadays, it's National Electrical Code. I'm sorry, I shouldn't abbreviate. The way it works is they try to keep everybody kind of on the same page. It's over the years, it hasn't been uncommon for. In fact, I think we're on the 2020 code
now.
Yeah,
we're on the 2020 code.
Even though the 2023 has been, you know, we've already gone through the changes on that, but it hasn't been adopted yet. So we're still operating off 2020. And it's not uncommon to be, I can remember years where we're maybe 6 years behind adopting.
Wow. So, listener, if you missed last week's show with Hayes Electric, you want to go back and listen to it, you can go to iTunes podcast or Spotify or iHeartMedia. Look at, just put Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It'll pop up. Hit subscribe. You can go back and listen through podcast.
So, okay, we're going to keep moving. How about surge protection?
I tell most people this. I think you need it because a surge protector is designed, you know, to protect in case you get a surge or, let's say, an indirect lightning strike, or we've even actually seen it, an actual lightning strike.
What? So a surge, that, to me, that is more power than typical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So it's got a surge in power.
Right. And
so
it does
keeps
happen.
It from going through. It kind of stops.
It takes it.
Absorbs it, I guess.
Are those little cords that you plug in that have five or six plugs on them?
That is a surge bar. So a whole home surge, which is actually what we're talking about, actually goes to the panel.
It hooks directly to the panel.
Now, there are different styles in those, too. So you have the ones where you plug them directly onto the bus, and it looks like a little breaker. Then you have the ones that do not do it that way. You got to wire them in and hook them to a certain size breaker, and it's still doing the same thing. It's just that one's a little bit better than the ones that just plug on.
I'll just tell you personally, I use both, and I tell customers if they're wanting a surge arrester, you know, installed in their home, great. I still recommend using the ones for your TVs and computers and other things. Nothing's 100%, but so you just do everything you can to make sure. Because spending $500 or $600 to have a surge arrester installed to your home, yeah, that's kind of pricey. But it's not as expensive as a refrigerator or a new oven or a new TV
or
any combination of those things that might get taken out by a lightning strike.
Right. You know? And then you have to fuss with the insurance company as to if it was really lightning.
I think in the next code.
The next code update,
it'll be a requirement.
2026.
Rebuilding a service or a new house, anything like that, it's going to be a requirement anyway.
You know, we had a whole house surge protector put in our house, mm-hmm. and that's been 20 years ago. It was not real common back then.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys taught me, first of all, you don't go buy the $11 surge bar.
No.
You don't go buy this. A lot of those are just outlet strips. They have no protective
value.
Circuitry to them at all. So you want to make sure when you pick it up off the shelf, wherever you're at, you read on it how, you know, what the protective value is of it.
But they cost quite a lot.
A decent one, $40 or $50.
Right.
You know.
It's a lot compared to 11.
It is. How much did you pay for your TV?
Yeah, I know, right?
Right.
Yeah. I've learned a lot from you guys over the years, and you'll just level with me. So that's why I love having you come out and doing stuff to the house. And you guys do all kinds of repairs and upgrades. You've hung more light fixtures in our new house. I know it's just almost comical. We've played like musical light fixtures in the house, trying to get them just in the right place. But
yeah, and to be honest, I think we even had a boo-boo on one of them. But
do you know something? We had a guy rebuild all that glass, and we're going to hang it in our new cabana room.
There you go.
The thing is it's, to me, it costs less money to have you guys come out and install a light fixture than a handyman. And you know what you're doing because you're very efficient. I mean, your guys don't have to run to the truck 15 times. They get what they need the first time, and they don't run anywhere. They just walk, do their job, and then they're done. And so I just have to, just from an economical point of view, that's a pretty good thing to be able to depend on for an electrician.
Well, I mean, you know, us compared to a handyman, a big deal is insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that, you know, it's going to be hooked up right.
Right.
That's the thing, too.
Yeah.
And, like, you guys know the height to hang a light fixture.
Right.
It's real weird. I didn't know you knew all that, but you do. know all that.
After you hang a couple of hundred, you kind of.
Yeah.
Well, right. And the other thing is, as electricians, you end up kind of catching on what other trades, what their tendencies are.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, a decorator, you sit there and you watch it. Okay, every single one's done this.
Well, when we come back, I know I have to mention the wafer lights because those are just what needs. We have to mention that each time because sure. They're so awesome.
We'll do that. We're talking about how do you know if your house has been hit with lightning.
Okay.
When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guests, the guys from Hayes Electric, Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wart. And it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Our word of the day is lightning.
Not white lightning, but lightning.
I could tell you a story about white lightning and the policeman at Jones. It was pretty incredible event one weekend.
We better just stick to lightning.
Yeah, right. Okay, lightning. I'll just read it to you. The occurrence of a natural electrical charge of very short duration and high voltage between the cloud and ground or cloud to cloud, and it's accompanied by a bright flash and often thunder. So, electricity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, it just seems that you would not want a big bolt of that coming to your house.
Just a real quick, useless piece of information.
Okay.
Lightning's crooked because it takes the path of least resistance. That's what electricity does. It takes the path of least resistance.
Oh.
So, just throw that out there.
So, it doesn't just go straight, usually.
No.
Well,
because it's looking for whatever easier way to go.
Yep. Yep. That's it.
Huh. Well, I know a lot of people who do that. But I usually don't call those people lightning.
So last week we're sitting, we had storms that had just a whole bunch of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lightning strike. And I sat there and went, did that hit my house or not? I mean, it was so loud.
You know, it doesn't have to hit your house to have damage.
So how do you know?
There's telltale signs. I mean, you walk in somebody's house, they're a lot of times it's their garage door opener doesn't work, their phone systems don't work anymore, TVs, GFIs, lots of little things like that. And when I see those little things pile up, you know, that tells me they had a close strike. And those things have computer boards in them, little tiny computer boards in them. Furnaces even can do it because they have a computer board in them. And it likes to take out those low-voltage items, those little things.
Well, even dishwashers.
Yes, anything that has a board in it. So let's be honest with you. If you have a range that's brand new and it has a digital clock on it, right, and all the little fancy bells and whistles, right, that's got a board in it. Same thing with your double ovens or single ovens that are separated. Anything, refrigerators even have them, believe it or not. So anything that's in there that has a board is susceptible.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it's not like it's expensive fixes, you know, on stuff like that. But they're fixes nonetheless, and it's probably not enough stuff that you would want to even turn it into your insurance, because most people have a deductible that's high enough they just pay, you know, to have those repairs done.
Yeah.
Instead, so, you know.
I've had a couple of clients that knew their house was struck by lightning because their chimney exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had bricks all over their roof.
I had a customer, and I don't remember if I had you come over or not, but it was over here next to Lake Overholzer. And I walk in the house, and the guy tells me, because it had just happened like just a few hours before. And he said, I was sitting in my office with my cordless phone talking, and he said it just got, I don't understand, deafening silent, mm-hmm. you know, where there's something happening, but it's just almost like there's no sound. But he said white stuff started falling like it was snowing in his office, and he looked up, and the sheetrock was flopping. Just,
wow.
Yeah, rapidly flopping up and down like that. And what had happened is the lightning struck the corner of his house right next to his office, and where it hit, there was a little floodlight there. And so it traveled down that wire, and it jumped. It jumped from there to an air duct that was close to the next light down. And I just traced it. I followed it all the way back to the switches at the front door that operated, you know, two or three of those lights and that floodlight. And it blew. It was a four-gang plate covering four switches. It blew the plate off and just disintegrated two of the switches. And then I went back to the panel because it, you know, grounded out at the panel down to the ground rods. And you could see when copper heats up, you know, it changes color. And when I opened up the panel, you could see the bare copper ground wire that had kind of a bluish hue to it where it had heated up, you know, on its way out.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's some interesting stuff. And I was like, well, I told the guys, like, we'll just be glad you weren't using a corded phone. You know, could have been a different story.
Wow.
No kidding. Yeah. Could have gone through you.
Yeah, I could have.
Wow. So when lightning is close, you're saying that it really can be a near strike can cause damage mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. your house.
Again, I don't know if you were with me or not, but no, there was one over in what's the housing addition right there at 63rd and Council?
That's Riverbend.
Riverbend.
Uh-huh.
I went to one in there. Somebody was with me, but it struck the tree in front of the house. And she said, well, my house got struck by lightning, but I can't tell where. She said, what I can tell you is something flew through the window of my car inside the garage. And when I got out there, we looked.
That was me.
It was you. Yeah. It, the roots of the tree going along the ground, you could see where it had gone. And it looked like literally somebody had taken a shovel and picked up the earth over the top of the roots. But it was not. It was just where it traveled. And her sprinkler system, one of the pipes, I guess, was fairly close. And it has wiring, you know, around it. So it traveled up that, went up the wall to her garage, to her sprinkler box, and blew the box off the wall through the window of her car.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Not hard to tell if you had a strike.
Oh,
but
wow.
Close strikes, it's typical little things that we know to see.
Yeah.
You know.
Is there anything you can do to protect yourself against lightning strikes?
The surge arresters, you know, we were talking about. Using surge arresters, a good quality one. We use a Siemens brand that is high quality. And then also go ahead and use a good protective outlet strip on your important things, TVs, computers, you know, anything you can put it on. You know, double up, do what you can.
So I got two questions. One is I'm sure somebody's listening and going through what I'm thinking through was I have no idea whether I have a surge protector on mine. How do you know, like, if you're not the one that installed it, how can you tell on a box if there's a surge protector on the box itself?
Okay, so if, let's say it's a non plug-on style, okay, you'll look down, like, should look back down below it,
uh-huh,
and there'll be either recessed in the wall or it could be surface mounted, and you're going to see this long device, and it's going to have two little lights on it, and that generally will tell you that might be one. You can also open the panel door, and it should be marked as, you know, whole home surge or surge arrester or something like that. That's another dead giveaway.
You should be able to read on it somewhere. It tells you what it is.
Gotcha.
Now, you do have some where they take them, and they actually are not a push-on breaker style, but they just set them inside the panel. But once again, it should still be on a breaker, and it should be marked or designated. If not, and you really want to make sure, you know, you can always call us.
Call your electrician, yeah. Estimates are free.
I know a guy.
I know a guy, too. He's sitting to my left.
So here's my second question. Is that plugging, like, I have, like, my TVs plugged into it, but what it come to my attention here thinking is like my refrigerator, I don't have plugged into a surge protector because it's like in the wall. Is there ones that you can do that for fridge? Because
they do actually have a plug-in style that looks like a plug.
Yeah.
Okay. And they do have those as well that you can buy and put in. So, like, because you're not going to get back to your fridge.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I think the reason a lot of people are doing is the inconvenience of getting back there to put one in.
Right. That's exactly it.
Aren't refrigerators on like a special circuit of their own or something?
They're supposed to be on an arc. They're supposed to be on an arc fault GFI.
By themselves.
By themselves.
So that way.
So, you, like I said, you could buy, you can do the whole home surge one, and then you buy the plug style that goes in there as well.
Gotcha.
Okay, so then what you're doing is you're arc faulting it, you're GFIing it because it's done by breaker, and then on top of that, then you have the surge.
I think plug. To answer your question, it'd be no different than a TV. You know, a TV's not on its own circuit. It's sharing circuitry with other stuff.
Right.
Just because your refrigerator's on its own circuit doesn't make it any safer as far as strikes go.
Right. I was just thinking that if something, you really don't want your refrigerator breaker to go out.
No.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if it's empty and it needs to be defrosted, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll be back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian, and on Main Street in Yukon on Route 66.
Okay. Our smoking hot deal today, Blackwood Farms at River Bend. This is 63rd and Council Road, just west of Wiley Post Airport. And if you've ever been in a Ron James designer home, that's what this is. It's got everything you would ever want, but they're not enormously huge. This is about 2,500 square feet, 3-bed, 2.5 bath, and a very nice big 3-car garage. And Ron always puts all the built-ins everywhere. I mean, there's a bank of drawers in the master where you don't even need furniture in the master bedroom because there's so many built-ins. And the half bath is quite nice, double or triple size covered patio in the back. It's $425,000. And if you've not seen a Ron James designer home, you need to come see it. It'll be open this Sunday, 2 to 4, probably open before that and after that, but at least between 2 and 4 this Sunday over on Northwest 63rd Terrace, which is just south of 63rd Street. So
right there in
that's
Riverbend.
Our smoking hot deal.
One of the funny little stories that Becky and I's life pattern kind of probably crossed paths back when I was in college.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because back in the day in Riverbend, I was helping to install wallpaper in the houses at Riverbend. Ron James homes were one of the ones that were building in the original Riverbend at that time. And one thing I remember is his walls were straight.
Yeah, there you go.
which is a rarity.
I know, especially because back then there was like plaid wallpaper and
that's
stuff
exactly
too. So
each straight bathroom walls got a wallpaper. Yeah.
So, okay, we're here with Alan Pruitt, Dwayne Wart from Hayes Electric. And you guys are my go-to guys on electricity. Have been before you were even there, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and the one thing that you told me on the break is that the electricity doesn't just go down electrical lines when you get a lightning strike.
Yeah, it can go down anything metal.
Cable lines.
Telephone lines. Mm. So when you're buying a good protective outlet strip, they do sell them. Ones that also have an in and out for your cable and your phone. It's a good idea to have one of those, you know, if those lines are there. Obviously, your cable line will be there, but if your phone line's there too, run it in and out, and because that will give protection to those other lines as well.
I have not seen those, but that would be probably a really important thing.
They've been around a long time. You know, a lot of times you don't see something because you're not looking for it.
What do you think about all the electrical, not really electrical cords, but all the cords wrapped around a house, like telephone cords and on the outside of a house? They think we should be tearing those down?
I think it's tacky.
It is tacky. Well, one more place for electricity to strike and electric to start running along something.
I mean, it could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen.
And how many people have landlines anymore?
I know we're getting down.
Getting down to almost nobody with a landline.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've got the AT&T internet, the fiber optics.
Right.
And the guy was there doing the work on mine, adding my fiber optic line in there. He said, your analogs are gone.
Right.
And if you still have it, you're lucky. It's going to be going away, though, real soon. Because everything's going to be going the fiber optics.
Right.
So that analog, I mean, you can't even get it really realistically an analog phone anymore. It's actually done through the Wi-Fi of the system that they bring in.
Right. Right.
So
our office doesn't even have analog phones. I mean...
No.
Yeah, we're in a room full of people that used to dial in a circle.
I know, right?
I would love to still have one just to give it to the younger kids and say, here, figure it out.
Yeah, figure it
They'd
out.
They'd get frustrated because it takes too long to dial.
I've got one that works, actually.
Do you really?
I do. An old one sitting on my desk at work. Okay, so the one thing I wanted to end with today is to ask you guys, when we do have home inspections done, a lot of times there will be a long list of electrical items that needs to be done. What should the buyer be a little bit more afraid of than just like reversed polarity? You might define reverse polarity first.
Well, reverse polarity is when you have the neutral on what's supposed to be the hot side and the hot on the neutral side. That's where your reverse polarity comes into play. And what used to happen is when the old system, which was a two-wire plug instead of a three-wire, which a three-wire has a ground, a two-wire does not. So the ground or the hot used to be on the left side, and the neutral used to be on the right side. Well, now with the three-wire plugs, the neutral's on the left along with the ground, and your hot's on the right. Well, people, when they go to change them out, they're not going to leave the power on. Now, I'll be honest with you, I do 90% of my work live. Well, probably more like 98%, but whatever. Hot, but that's because I've been doing it for as many years as I have, and I know what I'm doing. So these people, when they go to check them, they are not aware of what side's hot, what side's not. So they pull these plugs out, and they're like, they just put them back together the way they seen them. So they're like, okay, boom. And then it's when they get reverse polarity.
Did you ever in your life... back with two-prong plugs, ever get shocked by a lamp or anything?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The old even still, you used to be able to plug it in either way. You could plug into a plug either way.
Upside down or right side up.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, didn't matter.
And it's because it either had reverse polarity or your plug-in, whatever you were plugging in, needed to be turned over.
Huh.
And so the hot physically was running along the outside of a metal fixture. And so that's where you go. So if you were grounded somehow and touched that light fixture, you got shocked.
Yeah, that used to be pretty common.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so nowadays you see plugs, if you really look at them, there's one slot that's longer than the other one.
Yep.
And that's so you can't put it in the wrong way.
Huh. Well, there you go. So what would you say is something that you would tell someone take pause about buying a house because of an electrical issue?
If it really depends on the buyer. It's a personal thing, what you're capable of affording, and knowing beforehand what you're getting into is the biggest thing. And so as long as the inspection report is thorough and you've had maybe your personal electrician or something go in and go through and tell you everything that they see, if you're comfortable with it and comfortable knowing the cost, I don't really see anything that stops me, okay? But it's knowing what you're getting into.
Well, one thing that comes up with us a lot is the two-prong plugs.
Right. Two-prong, like, when, especially on older homes, two prongs. And somebody has put a three-prong plug in there, but the wiring's still only
two wires.
Two wires. It's not grounded. So
all I do is just change it back to a two-wire plug because that's what it's legally fitted with.
You can put, say, a GFI plug in the place, and they come with stickers that say ungrounded, and put that on there. It's perfectly legal. That gives you the three prongs. That way you don't have to use an adapter. Do that, but we're talking about the cost of a $2 plug versus the cost of a $29 plug. You know, so I probably wouldn't want 29 plugs in every plug slot in my house. It would get kind of expensive kind of fast.
So if you do a two-prong plug and just did an adapter with it, perfectly safe to do that?
Yeah, that's what they were designed for.
Okay. Well, you guys have been a wealth of information today. Thank you so much.
The Hayes Electric, Alan Pruitt, Dwayne Ward's been our guest. Thank you for being with us here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
In the week, be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you. And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.